بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. We carry on with the lessons in explaining this short and brief treatise, which was authored by Shaykhul Islam al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimullah. And this treatise, which we have been covering over the past 2 to 3 lessons, is regarding 4 important principles and foundations which the ahkam, the rulings of the religion, are based upon. And he called it arba'u qawa'ida min qawa'id ad-din, or arba'u qawa'id tadur al-ahkamu 'alayha, 4 principles which the rulings of the religion are based upon. The first principle we studied was regarding speaking about Allah or speaking about al-Islam without any knowledge. Tahrim al-qawl ala Allah bila ilm, speaking about Allah with that which you have no knowledge, and that this is haram, this is not permitted. And this is one of the most dangerous sins for a person to speak about Islam, to speak about Allah, to give a fatwa, a ruling about Islam, and he does not know. For a person to say something is halal or something is haram, and he does not know. He does not have knowledge. And Allah said in the Quran that, do you say regarding Allah, مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that which you do not know? And also, we discussed previously the saying of Allah in the Quran. He said, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّي الْفَوَاحِشْ مَا ظَهْرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the people, indeed my Lord has made it or prohibited al-fawahish, lewd actions. مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ, that which is clear and apparent and that which is hidden. وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, and to sin and to oppress others without any right. وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا, and that you ascribe partners to Allah, you fall into shirk and you do not have any proof to do so. And then he said, وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and that you speak about Allah, meaning about the names, the attributes, the essence of Allah, the religion of Allah, the sharia of Allah, you speak about this and you do not know. And look in this ayah how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he began with fawahish, and they, the ulama have explained, are the least of the severe sins in these ayat. And then after this, he went to that which is more severe, which is al-ithm, sinning. And then he went more severe, which is oppression. Then he went more severe, وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ, that you ascribe partners to Allah. And then the most severe sin that he mentioned is, وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, they speak about Allah in regarding that which you do not know. Because whenever a person speaks about Islam or gives a ruling or speaks about Allah without any knowledge, not only does he misguide himself, but he is also the cause of others being misguided and other people being harmed. Then the second principle, which we discussed and studied last week, was that there are some things in the sharia which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made an obligation upon us. There are other things which he has made haram, not allowed for us to do. And there are some things in the sharia which Allah did not speak about, or he did not make any ruling regarding that thing. And those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not speak about, then this is a form of mercy, and because Allah wanted to make it permitted for us. And we mentioned the hadith of Abu Tha'labah radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ فُرُوضًا فَلَا تُضَيِّعُوهَا. Indeed, Allah has made certain things an obligation upon you, so don't waste them. And he said, وَحَدَّ حُدُودًا فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. And he has set certain boundaries, those things which are haram, so don't cross those boundaries. وَحَرَّمَ أَشْيَاءَ فَلَا تَنْتَهِكُوهَا. And he made some things sacred, so don't transgress against those things. And then he said, وَسَكَتَ عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ رَحْمَةً بِكُمْ غَيْرَ نِسْيَانٍ. And there are some things which Allah remains silent over out of mercy for you, and not because he forgot about those things. فَلَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْهَا. So don't delve and ask about those matters. The third principle which we're going to discuss today is, to summarize before we read it, is the difference between how the people of innovation and the people of deviation, how they deal with the ayat in the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how Ahlus Sunnah, the people of Sunnah, how they interact with the ayat in the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll read the Arabic, Uthman.
Al-Qa'idatu Thalitha. أن ترك الدليل
الواضح أن ترك الدليل الواضح
أن ترك الدليل الواضح والاستدلال باللفظ
المتشابه
هو طريق أهل
أهل الزيغ
نعم كالرافدة والخوارج قال تعالى أما الذين في قلوبهم فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ وَالْوَاجِبُ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ اتِّبَاعَ الْحُكْمِ الْمُحْكَمِ وَإِنْ عَرَفَ مَعْنَى الْمُتَشَابِهِ وَجَدَهُ لَا يَخَالِفُ الْمُحْكَمِ بَلْ
يُوَافِقُهُ
وَإِلَّا فالواجب عليه اتباع الراسخين في قولهم آمنا به كل من عند ربنا
كل من عند ربنا. And the English, who's going to read the English? تفضل بلال. The third principle.
The clear evidence and evidences and what they prove to do the ambiguous proofs.
So he said, to leave the clear evidences and what they prove, and instead to follow the mutashabih, the ambiguous proofs.
This is the way of the people of deviation.
That they leave the clear proof and instead they go to the ambiguous proofs.
Like the Rafida and the Khawarij.
The Rawafida, يعني the Shia and the Khawarij.
The Most High said, as for those in whose hearts is deviation from truth, they will follow that of it which is ambiguous.
So the obligation upon the Muslim? The
obligation upon a Muslim is to follow the clear direct evidences. If a person knew the meaning of the ambiguous proofs, he would realize that they do not contradict the clear evidences, rather agree with them. In all cases, it is obligatory to follow the scholars of deep knowledge in their saying, we believe in it, all of it, it is from our Lord.
So this principle is a very important principle when it comes to using evidences or proofs in the Sharia. And Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimullah, he said that أن ترك الدليل الواضح, leaving clear-cut evidences, والاستدلال بلفظ متشابه, and following ambiguous wording, هُوَ طَرِيقُ أَهْلِ الزَّيْغِ. This is the way of the people of deviation, i.e. the people of innovation. كَالْرَافِضَةِ وَالْخَوَارِجِ. Like the Rawafida and the Khawarij. And Allah said in the Qur'an, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ. As for those who have زَيْغ, the disease of deviation in their hearts, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْ. Then they follow that which is unclear or ambiguous from it. And this ayah that the author mentions is in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 7. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah, هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب. That he, Allah Azza wa Jal, he is the one who has revealed the book to you, I the Quran, talking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. منه آيات محكمات. In it are آيات which are محكمات. And I'll explain to you in a short while the meaning of محكمات. هن أم الكتاب. And they are the base or the core of the book. وأخر متشابهات. And then there are other آيات from the Quran which are متشابهات. And again, I will explain to you the meaning of متشابهات. Then he explained the way of the people of deviation and the people of correctness and those who are upright. He said, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٍ. As for the ones who have deviation in their hearts, what do they do? فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْ. Then they seek to follow the mutashabih, that which is ambiguous. Why? إِبْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ. They try to, or they desire fitna, conflict and differences. وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ. And they desire its ta'wil, its false interpretation. Then he said, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And nobody knows its correct ta'wil extent except Allah. And then he mentioned the way of Ahl al-Sunnah. He said, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. As for those who are firm in knowledge, then they say, يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. They say that we have iman in all of it, the muhkamat and the mutashabihat, because all of it is from our Lord. وَمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And only the people of intelligence, they remember this. This ayah shows us that in the Quran and generally in the Islamic texts, we have two types of evidences. That which is muhkam and the other which is mutashabih. And the meaning of muhkam and mutashabih in this ayah, the scholars and the salaf, the mufassirun, they differed over it. So some of them said that the meaning of muhkam is al-bayyin, al-wadih fi dalala. Those ayat, those evidences, those Islamic texts, which are very clear, clear-cut in terms of what they are proving. لَلْتِبَاسَ فِيهَا عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. And nobody can be confused about them. And they said, and therefore, mutashabih is the ayah or the hadith in which the meaning is unclear or ambiguous on some of the people. So the muhkam is an ayah or an evidence in which the meaning is clear-cut, and the mutashabih is an ayah or an evidence or a hadith in which the evidence perhaps isn't clear-cut for some of the people. And the other mufassirun, all of them, they explained muhkam and mutashabih with similar meanings. The muhkam is that which is clear, clear-cut, and mutashabih is a wording which might be ambiguous for some people or many of the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this book which we have revealed to you, in it are ayatun muhkamat, clear-cut ayat. And also we have clear-cut ahadith, which are the Ummul Kitab. These ayat are the core of the book. These are the principles of our religion. And then there are also other ayat, which are mutashabihat, which perhaps are unclear for some people. Or the meaning is ambiguous for some people. And the way of the people of innovation, the people of deviation, the Rawafid, the Khawarij, and other than them, is that they leave the clear-cut ayat, the clear evidences, and instead they will try to find proofs for what they do in ayat or in ahadith in which the wording is unclear for them. Like he said, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٍ. As for those who have deviation in their heart, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْ. Then they follow those ayat which are ambiguous or unclear for them. And these muhkamat, these clear ayat or clear evidences, These are the principles of our religion, that everybody knows their meaning. And then there are other ayat or other ahadith which perhaps is difficult for some people to understand. Now, when the scholars of the Quran, the Mufassirun, when they recite this ayah, they recite it in two different ways. You can stop in two different positions. So some of them said that you can say, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that nobody knows its ta'wil, meaning its true reality and its explanation, except Allah. And you stop there. And then the next ayah is, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا, that those who are firm in their knowledge, they say, we believe in all of it, it is from our Lord. This is the first way of reciting it. And the second possible way of reciting it is for a person to say, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, that the only ones who know its ta'wil, the ta'wil of these ayat which are mutashabih, is Allah and الرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, and those people, the scholars who are firmly grounded in knowledge. And they say, يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. So, these two different recitations of the ayah portray two different meanings. The first one is that these ayat which are mutashabih, which are ambiguous or perhaps unclear, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows its true at-ta'wil. And the meaning of ta'wil in this reading is either true extent and reality of the meaning of this particular ayah. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He spoke about His characteristics and His that, His essence. For example, His knowledge. Now, does anybody truly comprehend the reality and the essence of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's not possible. Because Allah said, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ, that nobody can comprehend the true knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is so great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, He spoke about Jannah, He spoke about the fire. Can anybody right now, at the moment, truly comprehend the reality and the essence of the fire and the paradise? No, we can't. Because, as Allah said, no ear has heard it and no eyesight has ever seen it. And it's something which is unimaginable at the moment. So, if we stop at illallah, then nobody knows the true ta'wil, i.e. the true explanation or reality and extent of these ayat except Allah, then this is the meaning. I.e. these matters are from the unseen. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the matters of the unseen. However, if we say, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, then nobody knows its ta'wil except Allah and those who are firm in knowledge, then the meaning of ta'wil here is tafsir, explanation. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, when he was reciting this ayah and he came to the saying of Allah, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, he said, وَأَنَا مِنَ الرَّاسِخِينَ فِي الْعِلْمِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ تَأْوِيلَهُ, that I am also from the rasikhuna fil ilm, which know the ta'wil, the explanation of these ayat, the tafsir of these ayat. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made a dua for Ibn Abbas. He said, Allahumma faqihhu fi ad-din wa 'allimhu at-ta'wil. O Allah, give him understanding of the religion and teach him the ta'wil, teach him the explanation of the Qur'an and the ayat of the Qur'an. And some of the companions, they mention how they used to sit with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and they went through every single ayah of the Qur'an, and he would teach them the meaning and the explanation, the tafsir and the ta'wil of the Qur'an. So, what are examples of muhkamat and mutashabihat from the Qur'an? And I'll give you four examples. And I'll tell you the difference between Ahlul Sunnah and the difference between Ahlul Zayghi wa Ahlul Bid'ah when it comes to these ayat which are muhkamat and which are mutashabihat. Those which are clear cut in their meaning, principles of our religion, and those whose wording is perhaps ambiguous due to the ignorance of the people and not having enough knowledge or learning about the ta'wil of the Qur'an or the tafsir of the Qur'an. Allah said in the Qur'an, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that there is nothing which is equal or comparable to Allah, and He is السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. He is the one who hears everything and He knows everything. And this is a clear-cut ayah. This is an ayah muhkama. And it acts as a principle for us. That look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, firstly, He negated that anything is comparable to Him. There is nothing which is comparable or equal or resembles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any shape, way or form. And then at the same time, He affirmed for Himself two attributes. As-Sami' al-Basir. That He is the one who hears and He is the one who sees. Now this ayah which is muhkama, this ayah which is clear cut in its evidence, this teaches us two things. That we affirm for Allah, we accept the descriptions, the characteristics and the attributes which Allah has mentioned in the Quran for Himself. Like He said, He is as-Sami', He is the one who hears. We accept this. And that this is reality and this is real. And He said that He is al-Basir, the one who sees. And therefore we accept this in its apparent meaning, that Allah sees. And then the second benefit is that despite the fact that Allah sees and we also see, and Allah hears and creation also hears, but at the same time, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing which is equal or comparable or resembles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an ayah which is muhkama, very clear cut. And Ahlul Sunnah, we always go back to this ayah. We take this ayah as a principle that we always refer back to. If anything we don't understand from any other ayah, maybe the meaning isn't quite clear to us because of our lack of knowledge, we go back to this ayah which is the principle of the in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Ahlul Zayg, the people of deviation, Ahlul Bid'ah, they then came along and they said, Allah said in the Quran that He has two hands. He said to Iblis, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ. O Iblis, what prevented you from prostrating in front of the one which I created with my own two hands? The people of deviation, they say, how can we say that Allah has two hands? If you say Allah has two hands, then that means you are now comparing Him to the rest of creation because they also have two hands. And it's not possible for us to compare Allah to creation. And therefore we don't accept that Allah has two hands. And the meaning of two hands is something else. Two powers, two forms of strength or a different type of meaning. So look here how they left the ayah which is muhkama, clear cut, that Allah He affirms hearing and seeing, but at the same time there is nothing comparable to Him. And instead they started delving into the ayah which is mutashabah, which is unclear to them, even though the ayah is clear. And we Ahlul Sunnah, we say that just as Allah affirmed for Him for Himself hearing and sight, and also creation of hearing and sight, and then He said there is nothing comparable to Him, then at the same time we affirm for Allah that He has two hands, and these two hands are according to the majesty of Allah. They befit His majesty. And there is nothing which is comparable to Him or nobody who is comparable to Him. So, Ahlul Sunnah, they accept these ayat in their real apparent sense. We believe Allah has sight and hearing and a face and He has two hands and He is above His throne and He is above the heavens and the earth. Whereas Ahlul Zayg, the people of deviation, the people of innovation, they try to change, interpret, and they delve into these type of affairs. Also, another example, the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah does not forgive that shirk is made. Allah does not forgive that partners are ascribed to Allah when it comes to worship. This is a clear ayah in the Quran. Every single person will understand from this ayah that shirk is not permitted. Why? Because Allah clearly said, Inna Allah la yaghfir an yushraka bih. Allah does not forgive, never does He forgive if shirk is made and worship is directed to other than Allah. This is what Ahlul Sunnah have understood. So Ahlul Zayg, the people of deviation, the people of innovation, they come along. And what do? They start mentioning weak ahadith. They start mentioning a particular companion had a dream when he came to the grave of the Prophet after the Prophet died. They mention weak ahadith. They mention narrations from Bani Israel and say, look, but here it is allowed and you are allowed to do this. So they leave the ayah, which is clear in its meaning, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرْ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ, and yet they mention a story or a dream or a hadith which is weak, or a story or something which has been mentioned. This is another way or example of what the author said, that the way of Ahlu Zayg, like the Khawarij and the Rawafid, is to leave the muhkam, the clear established evidences, and instead go to the texts which are unclear or ambiguous to them in their meaning. The third example is in terms of building over graves. As you know, if you go to many of the Muslim countries, you will see domes, you will see mausoleums, you will see buildings and even masajid built over graves. The Prophet ﷺ in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, from the last words that he said, he used to say, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ وَالنَّصَارَى اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدٍ. May the curse of Allah be upon the Yahud and the Nasara. They built over the graves of their prophets masajid, or they made the graves of their prophets masajid, places of worship. So look here now, we have a clear hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the last moments of his death, and he's warning the people and he's saying that the la'na, the curse of Allah, is upon the Yahud and the Nasara. Why? Because they did this action of taking the graves of their prophets and the graves of these righteous people as being masajid or places of worship. And this is a clear-cut hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is authentic. Ahlu Zayg, the people of deviation, they come and they say, but Allah said in the Quran, in Surah Al-Kahf, when He spoke about the three men who went and they fell asleep in the cave, and afterwards they woke up, and one of them went to the city, and then they came back, and then they died. Then Allah said, قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ, that those people who had authority of the affairs in the town, they said, لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَسْجِدًا, that we should take where they have died, or the places of their death, as being a masjid, as being a place of worship. So they say, look here, this shows that it is permitted for a person to build a masjid over a grave. And you can see that the meaning of the first hadith, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى, may the curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians because they took the graves of their prophets as being masajid and places of worship, is a clear-cut evidence. And as for this ayah, what does it exactly mean? Allah spoke about قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ, that those people who had authority over the affairs, they said. Now, were those people Muslims? Were those people non-Muslims, kuffar? Were those people righteous Muslims? Were those people disobedient Muslims? In fact, some of the mufassirun, they said that these people, قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا, those who ordered for the masajid to be built over the graves, some of the mufassirun, like Ibn Kathir, they mentioned that they were disbelievers. They were kuffar because of one or two of the ayat which came before show they were disbelievers. Or they said they were fujjar, they were disobedient people. So now the people of innovation come, and instead of taking the clear hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he's cursing those who built masajid over graves, they then take this ayah, which might be the saying of the disobedient people or the disbelieving people at the time of the people of the cave, and they say, look, we should build masajid over graves. And both Ibn Rajab and Ibn Kathir rahimahumullah, both of them said that the people who ordered with the building of a masjid over the grave, they were disobedient people or they were fujjar. They were kuffar or they were fujjar. They were disbelieving people or disobedient people. And then another clear example of muhkamat and mutashabihat and how Ahlul Sunnah differ to Ahlul Zaygi wa Ahlul Bid'ah is regarding the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ, that you, and you're speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّكَ you, O Muhammad, مَيِّتٌ, you will die. وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ, and they also will die. The rest of the people, they will also die. So here we have an ayah which is clear cut even in its wording and also in its evidence. The word which is used is mayyit and maut, death. And you come to some other people at Innovation and they'll say, don't say maut, don't say death when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because this is disrespectful towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We don't even use the word mayyit and maut when it comes to the Prophet. Rather, you should say intiqal, he moved from one place to another place. Or you should say, as they say in Urdu, parda. Now there's a curtain or a screen between us and between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And yet Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, he said, man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. And mat means maut. Whoever worships Muhammad, then Muhammad has died. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٍّ لَا يَمُوتُ. And whoever worships Allah, then Allah is ever living and he does not die. So instead of accepting this ayah, which is muhkama, which is clear in its wording and in its evidence, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ, they go to another ayah. And this ayah, its meaning is ambiguous. Ambiguous to them, even though its meaning is clear. And they use the ayah which many of you will have heard of in Surah An-Nisa, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. Allah says that if only when they, the people, when they wrong themselves, when they oppress themselves, meaning when they commit sins, if only they come to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they seek forgiveness for Allah, and you also seek forgiveness of Allah for them. So they say, look here, Allah is telling us that when we fall into a sin, then we have to go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to go to his grave, and we have to seek forgiveness from Allah near his grave, and he will also seek the forgiveness of Allah when we are by his grave. And this is an ayah which is mutashabah. Why is it mutashabah? First of all, this ayah was when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was alive in this dunya. And now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away. And we don't find any of the companions in authentic ahadith coming to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam every single time they sin and then asking him to seek forgiveness for them. How many companions, great companions, Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman, many great companions, they remained alive after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we find narrations upon narrations of them coming to the grave of the Prophet and seeking forgiveness. We don't find this. And where did they used to live? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to live meters away from where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was buried, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was buried in the house of his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu only lived a few feet or a few meters or a few yards away. But we don't find them using this ayah and coming to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also, if you look at the context of the ayah, you will actually see, read a few ayats before this in Surah An-Nisa, you will see that Allah is referring to the disbelievers and the munafiqeen. He was telling the disbelievers who oppressed themselves by harming and insulting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that they should come to him and then seek forgiveness, and he will also seek forgiveness for them. So we see that this ayah, it has various different meanings. But the ayah which is clear cut, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتُمْ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ, that you indeed will die and they will surely die. But they refuse to even use the word mayyit or maut with regards to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So to summarize this principle, then the way of Ahlul Sunnah is, in the Quran and the Ahadith, we have texts which are very clear in their meaning and in their wording. And these are the Ummul Kitab. These are the core principles of the book, or the core principles of the Sharia. And whenever we find a hadith or an ayah of which the meaning we're not clear of, then we take this back to the Muhkam. And at the end of it we say, آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا, that we believe in all of it, in every ayah and every authentic hadith, whether we understand them, we don't understand them, whether we understand the logic, we don't understand the logic, we believe in all of it because it is from Allah. All of it is from our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the general meaning behind this principle. And the way of the people of innovation and deviation is that firstly they leave the ayat which are muhkamat, and then on top of this, they try to follow the mutashabihat. They try to follow the unclear or ambiguous text which are ambiguous to them. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.